Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our fourth session in Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say. And last week, I think we said some things that were really important for us over and over again, and I trust that we've all been doing that, at least some, since that time, because that's really, I think, how we're going to get this in our heart, if we're struggling with it. I want to make one mention, because I saw that we had a few new people who were looking in the past weeks. And I just want to mention again that if you would like scriptures, you can send us a note via the Facebook page. Do it privately. Do the Facebook message to Patricia Dudley or to the ministry site, and we will get you and send us your email, and we'll get you a copy of it. Or you can send one to info@mentonwilliams.com and request it. Again, provide your email and we'll get it to you. And I think these will be very helpful because sometimes we spend so much time looking things up, we miss some things, I do, that are said. And that's one reason we do have decided to send the notes out. So let's just jump in this morning, expecting, believing. And we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way today. Today we're going to be talking about submitting and resisting and how that is the right connection. And I look forward to today's because I think there's some things that really blessed me and encouraged me as I put these notes together. We want to review a bit, though. Psalm 107, verse 2. And we were talking last week about, I am blessed and not cursed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And last week, the focus was on the saying part, declaring, commanding. And that's what we begin to do. In Galatians 3, we saw that we who are of faith are sons of Abraham. We are heirs of Abraham. And Jesus was an heir of Abraham as well. And so when we say we're heirs of Jesus, that takes us back through Jesus to Abraham. And then we most importantly saw that the blessing is a part of the gospel. It's a part of that good news that we should expect. Then we get to verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, and that's one of the things we'll be focusing on in the coming week, might come to us, the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So part of the blessing coming to us is the Spirit. And then we saw in 1 Corinthians 2:12 that when the Spirit comes to us, he's going to do this. He's going to enable us so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And so we began to say last week, I am blessed and I am not cursed as the redeemed of the Lord. Now, we saw last week in Deuteronomy 11:26 through 28, we also saw something similar, and there are three more references in Deuteronomy to blessing and the curse. But we first saw this mentioned in Deuteronomy 11:26-28. So let me just read through it here. See, I am setting before you today the blessing. If you listen. And what do we know? That word listen also means to listen and to obey. If you listen to what? To the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you this day. And the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. So he's saying here, if you listen and obey, then blessings come to you. If you don't listen, or if you listen and don't obey, then what comes upon them? The curse. But it's really telling them what? You have a choice. And what is it now that determines whether or not we receive blessing or curses? It's making that choice to hear, to believe, and thus to obey. And again, we saw this same concept presented to them in Deuteronomy 27 and the chapter of blessing and curses, which is Deuteronomy 28. So we ask the question, are these elements of this choice still in effect today? And the answer of that is yes. And so we need to understand that. But it's a two-part answer. Yes, obedience is still what the Lord requires and desires from us. But there has been a change. Now, the devil's still on this earth. He's still trying to put it upon us, just like he tried to put it upon the children of Israel when they did not obey. But today, he's still the God of this world, and he's trying to put upon us. But what's changed that benefits us so much? It's the way God relates to us. It's our new and better covenant and the promises that it has. We are no longer subject to the law because Jesus fulfilled it. But that doesn't take away, just because we've been redeemed, our need to obey. It is not a license to sin. We're to live by faith, walking in love, and what did we see last week? Led by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:18, really important. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the dominion of, under the control of, having to obey all the law. You're not under that law. And that is really great news. We also saw two items that I would also put in that same category of great news. And we were saying both of those. And what we said was, I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and Father does not want any of the curses to come upon me. He doesn't want me to have any of those curses. We then got real honest with ourselves and said, so why do we see so many Christians with the law manifesting, the curses of the law manifesting in their lives? And we saw that it was out of ignorance for a large part, because most people have never heard some of the things we've been sharing. Most churches don't teach this, but yet we're not just saying this is my opinion. We're showing what the Scripture said, what the one who came to the earth, who was the Word, what he demonstrated when he was here. The other thing we found is that too many are bound in tradition, or they're hard-headed, or they're just flat-out rebellious and won't make the choice to believe the Word and thus obey it. Now, Satan, we found, will attempt to put the curse upon us, and he'll do it when we don't obey, when we don't hear, but he also tries to do it when? Even when we're obeying sometime, when we think we're doing exactly what the Lord has instructed us. But what he can't do is keep it upon us if we submit to God and resist him. Now, why can't he? Why can't he? He can't because Scripture tells us, I am free from the dominion of the curse of the law. We're not under that anymore, just as we mentioned just now. And also because we've seen Father doesn't want us to have it. Now, today I want to just jump right into the topic and just get right in the middle of it, of submit and resist the right connection. Now, connection. First of all, let's just use an example of electricity. Electricity is conducted, is connected from point to point by materials that will conduct it. And we have it in our homes. Now, stop and say, we're still praying for a lot of the folks here in Georgia, my son in Sylvania and his church, and the whole county they're in have no power as of this moment. And I'm recording this on Monday, the last day of September. And the many of hundreds up in my old home area of East Tennessee and the Western North Carolina, we lived within 55 miles, less than that as the crow flies, from Asheville and the devastation that is in that area. And I've posted some on my Facebook page about that. But we who have electricity to our homes, unless we take some action, unless we do what we know will connect the electricity to a light bulb, if we don't flip that switch, then that is not a connection that benefits us. And so if we think about that in this terms as we go through today, so let's go to James chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. You really can't understand fully 7 unless you read 6. And this is something we would say if we read this verse in completion. This is what we all want. It says, but he gives a greater or more, some translations say, grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So let's look at that word, therefore, right in the middle of it. That word really connects the first phrase, which is saying what? That he gives larger grace or more grace. The word actually means larger, greater, increase of grace. And who would say we don't want or need that? None of us would. And then it says, therefore, so it's connecting the fact that he wants to give us more grace to this truth. God is opposed to the proud. He's opposed to the proud, meaning he's not going to freely give something. He doesn't endorse pride. That is the very nature of the devil. But he gives grace to the humble. Now, what is being humble? Well, a lot of times we think of humble then as being just real meek, and almost we look at people and say, gosh, they're very humble, and they're almost beat down sometimes. I think the best definition that I can give you for humility is to think about it in this way. It's those who don't see themselves as self-sufficient. In other words, as prideful, as don't need any outside help. But the humble looks to God, who is the giver of all good things. So being humble, and it's going to lead right into the word submitting, is putting yourself in the trust and the confidence that you have in another to take care of you in every way. And that is at least how I view my relationship with the Father. Now, that verse then sets the tone for verse 7, which says, therefore, there's a word again, and we'll talk about it, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So we see the word therefore. We've asked the question, what is it therefore? And it's to take us back to 6, telling us humility is a key to more grace. And then he says submitting. And we've just really talked about how humility is submitting. Submit. And I would ask the question, to whom? And it's to God. Acknowledging him as the source of everything you have, looking to him for the life, the light, versus whom? Looking to God versus whom? Well, you might say, oh, I don't look to anybody. Saints, if we are not looking to God, we're looking to the God of this world and this physical earth that is cursed, and we are therefore not submitting to God. And so we're placing ourselves, let me ask it this way, we're placing ourselves in the hand of someone else. Who do you think might think we're submitting to him if we're not submitting to God? The devil. And thus he feels like he's got an opening for it, the enemy of your soul. Now, if he thinks we're submitting to him, and in fact, we are, because we're not submitted to God, to his words, then what have we really made? We've made a connection to him. We're saying we're willing to live under his dominion. And we do that through omission of not submitting to God. In essence, what we're doing is giving place to him. Now, that ought to bring up a scripture. Because in Ephesians 4:27, I think it's what, 5-6 words, talking of the devil, really talking about in previous verses about anger being a trait of the devil and us not submitting and getting involved in it. It makes this statement, don't give place to the devil. Now, that is not a suggestion. That is a command. And one of the ways we do that is by submitting to God. I'll say it this way. You cannot resist the devil and also give place to him. Not possible. So this tells us what? Well, let me just amplify on that. Lightness and darkness do not coexist. God does not partner with the devil. So first, in order to resist, we must be fully submitted to the Lord and to His Word. That's why we're studying this today. Having full confidence in Him, thus completing that connection as we walk in faith, in love, led by His Spirit, for His power to flow to us, for us, and through us, for others. James 1:8 makes this statement talking about a double-minded man. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, the word there for minded and double-minded actually in the Greek means this, two-spirited. Now, what is that? Well, I would say it this way. Let's go back and use an example of righteousness. I've told you and we've talked, and I trust you believe, if you've been redeemed to the Lord, then you're redeemed. You're not a sinner. You're saved or you're not. You can't be saved and a sinner because that's not how God looks at you. Do saved people sin? Yes. But we're talking about how God looks at us. So, if you're saying one moment, I'm righteous, and deep down inside you, you keep having this knowing that you're not, then that's what I believe a two-spirited, a double-minded man is. It's not someone who's saying, I know I'm righteous, but my head just makes me feel like I'm not. That's not the same thing. It's when you don't have that fully settled in your spirit, since the spirit is how we receive everything. And then it goes on, at first goes on and says, don't let this type of person think. In other words, he can't or he won't receive anything from God. So this is not an instance of spirit versus soul. It's not just that we need to have my mind renewed. Yes, we do. But we've seen in Scripture, with the man with the demoniac son who said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. He had to get that unbelief out of his head. But yet he said, I do believe, I really believe. But we're talking about not having the Word of God settled in our heart. So submitted, fully trusted, even when we're without full knowledge and understanding. In other words, confident trust, at rest, which is what? In peace, because we've been made righteous. And Isaiah 32:17. It is in this submission, this type of submission, that we can resist the devil. And we are told to resist the devil. It is not God's responsibility. Jesus, through the Father, has already defeated the devil. And what are we told to do? To occupy. That means to exert our dominion or enforce the kingdom of God's ways on this earth, and not let the physical part of this earth and the devil exert its ways on us. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to pray and ask God to take care of the devil or to make him stop. Nowhere. So, who does have to? We do. Yet many people today, God, please make the devil quit this. God, make him stop. It's our responsibility. What did Jesus say to us? All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now, he made a similar statement in Hebrews. He made this statement in Matthew, but Ephesians has also a view of this. And so in Matthew, he's saying now, so you go. And what are we to go with? Well, Mark is telling us we're to go with signs and wonders. That power connected to him flowing through us for others. That's how his authority is manifested. And we are to shut down the enemy as we resist, stand, as Ephesians tells us, against him in the full armor, opposing him. Now listen to this statement. When you give God his rightful place over you, sound like submission? It enables him to put you in your rightful place over the enemy. Now, I'll say that or read it one more time so I don't mess it up. When you give God his rightful place over you, it enables the Father to put you in your rightful place over the enemy. That is powerful. We're in that right place. We are fully connected to him to conduct the blessing for others, not only to ourselves, but for others. Otherwise, if we're not that way, rebellion places us in a position where it seems as we're submitting to the devil, and he knows it. But if you find yourself in that way, get the word, get back in it, what we're teaching today, get it settled where? In your heart. Now, your mind, if you get it settled first in your heart and you keep renewing your mind, it'll come around. But what do we just need to do? Repent if we find ourselves there. All of us have fallen into that trap. I probably will mention that again. So we want to pursue him, his wisdom, as we get back and walk in faith and love and led by the Spirit. And so 1 Timothy 6:12 really tells us how to do it. And that is by fighting the good fight of faith. Why is it good? Because we win. It says, lay hold then on eternal life. So a fight we win, take hold of life to which we were also called, and have confessed. So it has to do with let the redeemed say again. And let us confess what? The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we ought to see this flowing through our lives as we fight the good fight, staying in faith, love, led by the Spirit. Now, we must see this good fight being a victory that has already been accomplished and belongs to us. You don't have to defeat the devil. Jesus has already done that. We're enforcing his defeat. We just need to get to the point where the devil knows that we know he's defeated. And then as we walk in faith in Jesus' authority, he has no choice. He must bow the knee. He must, as the scripture in James said, and I didn't really focus on it, he will flee. He will run as in stark terror. So let me go back to that James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, look and see what it's saying here. He's not fleeing from God. He's fleeing from you and me. Oh, my goodness. Do we see that? He knows what the word says. He knows he's defeated. And he's trying to keep us deceived to think he's not, so that he can try to break a connection with God and have us then connected and through him. Oh my goodness. Now this phrase, lay hold of eternal life. You know, so many people just say, let go and let God. Well, that's not what I believe we're told. We're told to lay hold, to take in our hands this salvation that we have and all that it means. And how do we do this then? How about if I say, by choosing life? Look at what Deuteronomy 30:19-20 say. Now, I dare say many of us, most if not all, have read this, if we're believers, at least once. Listen to what it says. And when you do, read it with the context of all we've been talking about in blessing and cursing. The Father tells his children at the end of this chapter of Deuteronomy that we've been in, where we've seen the blessing and the curse presented to them. Look at what he says. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today. In other words, heaven has seen it, and the earth has seen it, that I have set before you life and death. And then he says what? Blessing and cursing. Life and death, or blessing and cursing. So that says to me, blessing is part of what? The life that he wants to have. Cursing is that part that leads to death. And then he says this, Therefore, because of what he's just said, choose life. Now, what's the implied noun in that phrase? You. You choose life. And look at the benefit of it, that both you and your descendants may live, may have life, may have the blessing, so that you may love the Lord your God. Talking about walking in love, we have to be loved, know we're loved by Him before we can walk in love to others. That you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, have that relationship with Him that we mentioned in the early parts of this session. For He is your life and your length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give Him. Now, I've said to you before, and this is important, this is not talking about the life we're going to have in heaven. Canaan land that He gave them, this is what it's referring to. So it's this time as His redeemed on the earth. This is the place He had planned for them to walk in the fullness of His redemption. So laying hold of eternal life is hearing, obeying His instructions, and thus we choose life, not death, and not cursing, but we get the blessing. Now, Proverbs 26, verse 2. And Lord, I just ask your help in getting these next two verse scriptures, thoughts that you've given me on part on this to others, parting it to them, imparting it. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow. Now, those things are both small. Yet, sometimes when the curse comes upon us, we think we're overwhelmed and it's so big we can't do anything about it. I think there is something in that symbolism there. And then it says, so a curse without cause. How about if I say it this way? A curse without a connection shall not alight, or King James says, shall not come. It's talking about it shall not come upon you. And remember, we saw that these blessings are to come upon you in Deuteronomy 28, first two verses. Alight or come, that Hebrew word literally means to go or to come. But as I was looking this word up, the very first word that it's translated as is abide. It's not going to come and stay if there's no connection. It cannot connect to you without your choosing not to have life. Now, remember, I'm not saying you won't face any trials or things coming against you. The devil can attack you, and he does without cause in this cursed world. But what do we know? It can't stay if I submit and resist, because I am redeemed from those curses. Therefore, we're talking about no connection to us. The great exchange connects us to the blessing, not to the curse. Now look with me at Psalm 125, and I'm going to go through this quickly, but there's a couple of key points I want to make. The first two verses are talking about how the Lord protects us. Those who trust in the Lord as Mount Zion are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, founded on a cornerstone, but abides forever. Verse 2, so the mountains surround Jerusalem, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Now, if you remember Psalm 5, verse 12, it says He surrounds us with favor, with grace. And then verse 3 says, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous. Now, this word scepter here means two things in Scripture. It can mean the ruling, the symbol of ruling that a king holds, but it can also mean the rod, as in a rod of correction. Now, what is this saying to us right here? The scepter of wickedness shall not rest in the land of the righteous. In other words, correction is not coming to those who are righteous, because that the righteous may not put forth their hands to do wrong. What he's saying here is that the Lord is not going to punish the righteous when He's made them righteous and they're doing right in his eyes. Now, obviously, this was not the case for the children of Israel. Different covenant. But because we've been made righteous, the Lord is not going to punish us. Otherwise, what are we going to begin to say? Why am I trying to do righteously? If I'm going to get punished for it, this is just another way the Lord is saying he's not going to curse us who've been made the righteous. And then 4 and 5 really enforces this. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their heart. And then he says, but as for the wicked, and we won't even read that part because it's not talking to us. So that's what this verse is telling us, that he's blessed us and he's not cursing us at the same time. Let me say it as we said in one of the earlier sessions. God would be unjust to make the righteous cursed. He just won't do it. We've been redeemed. The blessing comes on us as the Gentile. Now, the enemy is going to try to make you think that you do deserve it. He's trying to develop a connection to the curse for you. Don't take the bait. And don't ever call it a blessing. The blessing never becomes a curse in disguise, as we've said before. If we think that, we're giving the enemy a connection. Now, in Isaiah 53, let me read verse 5 and verse 7 for time's sake. Talks about Jesus in verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being or for our peace was upon him. And by his scourging, by his stripes, we are healed. And if you go down to verse 7, it says he was oppressed and afflicted. He was punished. He was cursed for us, for our sin. And for what? Our peace and our body. But look what it says. He did not open his mouth. And like a lamb led to slaughter or a sheep that is silent before the shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Why? Because the angels would have come to his rescue. They would have been just in doing so. And that's why the Lord had all this go on him, so that he could take it, so that we don't get what we deserve. Now, is that the instruction that we're supposed to follow when something comes upon us? And I'm going to tell you no. In our anchor verse, Psalm 127, verse 2, what does it say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say. Jesus kept his mouth closed so that we would have something to say. Now, in the 22nd chapter of Acts, and let me just turn there, Paul has been having a revival and riots, and the Jews were coming against him and making claim to the Roman, and the Roman soldiers were about to scourge him. And so, let's pick this up in verse 25 of Acts 22. And when they had stretched him out with thongs, they tied him down, in other words, they exposed his back. Paul said to the centurion. Now, did Paul know that he was the redeemed of the Lord? And what is he saying here? Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is Roman and uncondemned? He was telling the people who were trying to punish him the laws. Let me say that differently. Yeah, let me say it by the laws. The kingdom laws that they were under. He was reminding them that they were prohibited from doing this. So that's the kind of thing we need to be doing to the devil. And that just really scared the centurion when he was told about it. He said, what are you about to do? This man's a Roman. And the commander said, tell me, are you a Roman? And Paul said, yes. And he said, I acquired my citizenship with a large sum of money. But Paul said, I was born as a citizen. Saints, we have been born again, born from above as a citizen. We are now a citizen of heaven. And that is the law that we are under. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law, that part of the old covenant, and we need to speak out our kingdom rights. And when we do, the enemy has no legal right to keep the curse upon us. None. Thus we can walk free of the curse of the law. It may come, it may try to attach itself, but we can separate it by breaking that connection. And then when we do and are connected to God, we live our life in the blessing. So let me just say this one more time, and if you have notes and want to say it with me or after me, that is fine. In fact, I would encourage you to do so. And say it with confidence and boldness. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and Father does not want me to have any of the curses. Therefore, I am choosing life and blessing. The curse has no lasting connection on us when we make these decrees. So now we have something to begin decreeing for this next week. And this is, we're just going to be delving more into blessing and cursing and seeing, as we look at curses, what we are free from and seeing what the potential is for us to be blessed so that all around us are blessed. And remember, choose life because it impacts not only you, but what? Your descendants. We love you guys. Look forward to being with you in another week. Have a blessed week. Stay connected to the blessing.